Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
Awesome. We are in a series called Tribe. Somebody say Tribe. You know, and I thought about it in preparing for this message this weekend, and we had such an amazing time together last week. How many of you were here last week for the opening of this series when Pastor Dino talked to us? He challenged us. He said there are sharks in the water. He challenged us to protect our kids. Man, we prayed for our students as they came forward. Amazing, amazing, amazing. And man, coming out of that, thinking about this weekend, and I believe that this series, you know, we're taking the month of June to invest this in your heart, in your family, in your marriage, and into your life personally. But I was thinking about it leading up to this week, and I thought about the history of our state. You know, how many of you are from Louisiana? Come on, born and bred. Look at here. Keep your hands up just for a second. Check that out. Awesome. Wow. Come on, everybody say, God bless, God bless. The rednecks. Come on, baby. Jesus loves us, too. He hadn't forgotten about us. Okay, how many of you are not from Louisiana, but you moved down to Louisiana? Maybe it was a job or family issue or whatever. Brought you into South Louisiana, and you consider this home now, all right? Okay, that's the rest of us. That's the rest of us. Fantastic. Well, you know, if you know anything about our state, you know anything about this region, we've been through some stuff, haven't we? You know, we have had to weather some experiences. I thought about, you know, in the 80s, whenever we went through a sluggish economy. You remember that? When the economy just kind of bottomed out back then and people began to panic and, you know, people struggling to find jobs. And so, you know, going through that, I thought about the political corruption that our state has seen. We have seen our share of dirty politics. You know, people that get voted in on one platform and then they make decisions. It's like, wait a second. That's totally not what we, you know, that's not the deal. You know, and so over the years, you know, you kind of hear different remarks about Louisiana politics. I thought about 5.5 years ago, there was a storm that blew in South Louisiana. Remember a girl named Katrina? I remember that. Katrina just totally changed our state. I mean, the dynamics and the landscape of our area, our region, were forever affected. But you know what? Katrina didn't come by herself, did she? She invited a few of her cousins with her. You remember Rita? Yeah, and then after that, there was a little thing called Gustav. Gustav shows up a couple years ago. And, you know, Ike and the Gulf. All these storms. We have been through our share of stuff. And now, out in the Gulf, the oil spill. If you're like me and you watch the news and you see the pictures of, you know, what's happening there and the impact that's making on our coast and the families that are affected and the seafood industry and marine life, is it disheartening? How many just get sick to your stomach when you see that stuff? And sometimes you wonder, God, I mean, when is enough enough? You know, how many's ever wondered that? Lord, I don't know how much more we can take as a people. And you know what? But then I thought about the beginning of this year. On February 7th, 2010, the resilience of a group of people from South Louisiana. All of a sudden now, the world began to recognize, wait a second, those people down on the bayou, they know how to bounce back. How many of you know it's not how hard you fall, but it's how you bounce when you get back up? Come on. And on February 7th, I never forget where I was. Some of you, we made history together as a region. We embraced a brand new tribe in South Louisiana. Come on, little black and gold. Yeah, can you hum at me today? Come on, down in Miami, South Florida, history was made. Are you with me? How many know what I'm talking about? Yeah, a few. Yeah. All of a sudden now, the eyes of the country and a lot of different parts of the world were on our region because we gave birth to a brand new tribe, and we call it the Who Dat Nation.
Hey! We in black and gold.
Come on. You were there. You did it. All right, let's quit that. All right. some of you were getting nervous and didn't know if you should start moving in church like that, you know. You're looking for Brother Wayne saying, is this okay? Come on, we call it the Who Dat Nation. Can I have a good amen? Making history. How many of you remember where you were the night that the Saints won the Super Bowl? Oh, yeah. We were hanging out with some friends, Rachel and I. We brought the kids over to Jason and Leslie Bates' house. Every time the Saints scored a touchdown, a field goal, even if they made a great play, they cranked up that music, and all the kids got in the middle of the living room, and they danced their little hearts out. In fact, Trevor's 2 years old. It's official. It is official now. He is an official member of this Who Dat Nation. We saw, many of you flew flags on your car. How many got a little black and gold flag that you were proud to kind of ride around town being like, yeah, we dat right here? Trevor and I saw an Indianapolis Colts flag. You know, I mean, if you're from Indiana, we're praying for you. But he saw that Colts flag. He said, Daddy, what's that? I said, well, baby, that's the Colts flag. Well, what do you think we should do? Trevor said, Daddy, let's burn it. So I don't know where he gets that violent streak. I mean, that's his mama coming out of him, I guess. But, you know, we see everything now through the lens of black and gold. We see a fleur-de-lis, and we say, there's a hoodat right there. Come on. It's become our tribe. You know, it's amazing when you saw the celebration after the game. I mean, black people were celebrating with white people. Isn't that cool? Rich people were celebrating with poor people. There were educated and uneducated. There were those who were football fans and those who could care less about football. Come on. How many of you are bandwagon Saints fans? Let's be honest. You didn't own a stitch of black and gold until they won a Super Bowl. And then you stood out in line at that sports academy for 5 hours trying to get you a T-shirt. I know. And you know why you did it? Because you're thinking, hey, it took us 43 years to get here. We may never see this day again. Come on. Maybe sports isn't your thing. You know, we got all different kinds of tribes that are represented here today. Maybe some of you are into the Food Channel. That's your tribe. Yeah. How many ladies like the Food Channel? Maybe some of you are into Lost, the show Lost. I heard so much buzz about Lost. I'm like, what is that? Lost. Maybe some of you are into Cabela's or Bass Pro. That's your tribe. Anybody? Anybody? A few? Maybe some of you are into the Swagger Wagon tribe. Any minivan moms do we have in the house? Any minivan moms? A few of you know what that is. Some of you are in the iPhone tribe. How many of you got an iPhone? Oh, yes. It's amazing how that little piece of technology will solve just about anything. We got iPhones and iTouches and iPads, I. You know, we connect ourselves with all different kinds of tribes. It's amazing how each tribe, they have their colors, they've got their logos, they've got their songs, they've even got their tribal activity. But you know what? Tribe never came from the world. Tribe has always been God's plan from the very beginning. And we saw that last week. God has a heart for each and every one of us, and that's to be connected to a tribe. Can I have a good amen? You see, listen, it's so much more than just having the same last name, being a part of the same gene pool, sharing the same address. But really, tribe is a spirit. You know, God has been into tribe from the beginning. Remember when God looked down at Adam? He said, Adam, it's not good for you to be alone. You need what? You need a tribe. How many know that was a good day for Adam, wasn't it? You know what's amazing to me? How many of you are single in the house today? Anybody single? Keep your hand up. If you're saved, you're single, you're searching, keep your hand up. All right, now look around, church. Look around. There we go. Just try. Just want to let you know the playing field, all right? I mean, trying to help you build your tribe. Come on, somebody. Hey, if you're going to find the right person, you got to look in the right place. It's a good place to find your tribe. But you know what's interesting to me? Whenever God looked at Adam, God recognized, it's not good that you're alone. I'm going to build a tribe for you. And guess what God told Adam? Take a nap. Literally. I mean, he said, just rest. Let me tell you, for those of you that are single, don't get tripped out over your singleness. Oh, I got to find somebody. It's up. If it's going to be, it's up to me. Listen, God saw Adam's need and said, Adam, you rest, take a nap, and I'm going to get busy supply. I know what you need. I know when you need it. Can I have a good amen?
Amen.
And so this is so cool. While Adam was sleeping, God literally took a rib from Adam's side. Look, the answer was already inside of him. If you're single, you're not incomplete if you don't have a spouse. I want you to know, you're complete in Jesus. Can I have a better amen? And so God reaches down and takes the answer from right within him. And from that rib, he makes a woman. And then God wakes Adam up and says, Adam, while you've been just chilling, look, I've been busy. And the Bible says God brought Eve unto Adam. He didn't say, Adam, you got to chase her. You got to figure. I've hidden her somewhere in this garden. Marco Polo. Marco Polo. He didn't say that. The Bible says that God literally brought Eve to Adam. And Adam was like, wow, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Can I have a good amen? You know, Rachel and I, we're teaching our daughters. And this is important. Many of you have kids and you have family. You know, outside of your decision to follow Jesus Christ, one of the second very most important decisions is, you know, who you're going to do life with. And we're teaching our daughters this. My oldest will be 12 in a month. And my middle one will be, she's 7 right now. We're teaching our daughters that you need to hide yourself. Hide your heart so deep in God that a man will have to seek God in order to find you. Can I have a better amen? That's the way it's got to be. So you know what? You're not chasing after a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a husband or a wife. You're chasing after God. Listen, if you chase after God, then the right guy is going to come chasing after you. You chase after God, then the right girl is going to come chasing after you. Believe me, my life is a testimony of that. Rachel chased me down. That girl was crazy about me. My goodness. God told Adam, it's not good for you to be alone. You need a tribe. God told Noah, hey, Noah, you're going to build a boat and you'll save your tribe. God told Abraham, Abraham, you're going to be the father of one of the biggest tribes. In blessing, I will bless you. In multiplying, I will multiply you. All the descendants of the earth will be blessed through you. Abraham, you're going to be the father of this tribe. God told Jacob, Jacob, your sons will be 12 of Israel's tribes. Did you know tribe is God's idea? You know, man has borrowed it, but it originated from God. God told Moses, Moses, you're going to deliver your tribe from slavery. God spoke to David and said, David, because you're a man after my heart, I'll let you be king of your tribe. God spoke to Jesus and said, Jesus, I want you to handpick your tribe. You'll call them disciples. You'll train them for 3 years. And then God looks at the Holy Spirit and says, Holy Spirit, you're going to show up and you're going to ignite a tribe. And that tribe is called the church. And the church will be empowered to literally turn the world upside down. Can you say amen? You see, God's all about tribe. And you need to know that. Now, there are certain things about God's tribe that I think are distinct. And so I've got 3 thoughts that I want to share with you. If you have your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of John. John chapter 13 here. 3 thoughts that I want to give you about being a part of God's tribe. The first one is this. Number 1, God's tribe is all about loving without limits. Loving without limits. You want to know what God's tribe is? You want to know the foundation of his tribe? It's about love with no limits. Look at John 13 verse 34. Jesus says this. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Everybody say new commandment. He's introducing something brand new. You see, up until this point, all they knew was the law of Moses. All they had was, they had the Old Testament, the first 5 books. Now Jesus is saying, hey, I'm giving you something new. Here's a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. In fact, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Isn't that cool? In other words, God's saying this, the trademark of my tribe is your love for one another. In fact, you want to know if somebody's a part of God's tribe? then it's unmistakable, the love, not that they just have for God, but how that's expressed in the way they treat one another. You know what? Being a part of a family, being in a married relationship, I believe that as husband and wife, you ought to be able to express a love without limits for each other. Isn't it amazing how it's easy to do this whenever you're dating? And then for some reason, marriage kind of changes some things. Somebody told me one time, they says, dating brings out the best of you. Marriage brings out the rest of you. You know what? You know what marriage is? Marriage is when you love someone so much that you realize it's going to take the rest of your life to show them how much you love them. Isn't that cool? It's going to literally take the rest of your life. I care about you so much. How many of you know it's more than just words? It has to be more than just words. You know, early on, I remember reading a book and I came across, because I think you ought to invest in your marriage. Can I have a good amen? You know what I mean? Sometimes we work so hard planning a wedding, and once we get through the wedding, then we think, well, the plans are over. I think you ought to continue invest in your marriage relationship. And I remember, you know, reading a book one time. I think this is a great exercise. Fellas, I think this will help you create a love without limits in your marriage. So a guy said this, that the 8 most important words in a marriage, and you ought to try this, okay? This is an exercise. You ought to try this just randomly throughout the day. You know, I mean, as you're doing chores, or you know, you're giving your kids a bath, or you know, just in your day-to-day routine, you ought to say to your spouse, you ought to just totally interrupt their flow and say, "Babe," how many of you have a pet name for your spouse? You don't have a pet name for your spouse. Well, that's the first problem right there. You ought to say this. You ought to say, "Babe, you know what I love about you?" And then you just fill in the blank, whatever. Just pick one thing about them that you love and celebrate that one thing. It'll totally catch your spouse by surprise. What? I did that one time. I said, "Babe, you know what I love about you?" Rachel's like, "About me? What you love about me, boy?" I'm like, "Girlfriend, you know what I love about you, babe? I love how well you take care of this home. You know, I love how you care for these kids. You're an amazing mom. That's what I love about you." Guess what, fellas? Do that every day. Here's a prescription. All right? If you're experiencing a little sickness in your marriage, here's a prescription. Every day for the next 10 days, randomly say, "Babe, you know what I love about you?" Now you better have something to say then after that. This really works if your spouse isn't here. But when she's here, you know, I mean, you kind of, I don't know if you get credit for that. You're just saying that because Mike told you. But, you know, it's amazing what happens when unconditional love is in the house. Unconditional love. You see, the world doesn't know about unconditional love, do they? They have a love with limits. I love you if. But unconditional love says, I love you no matter what? You see, when there's unconditional love in a relationship, then it gives you the freedom to be yourself without judgment. When there's unconditional love in a relationship, then you'll be willing to risk more, give more, serve more, laugh more. I'm telling you, unconditional love will make a marriage flourish. You know what? Marriage, a lot of times, is like a bank account. Okay? How many of you hope that your marriage is not like your bank account right now? But you know what? In a bank account, there are deposits and there are withdrawals. Can I have a good amen? You know, when you say, "Babe, you know what I love about you?" Guess what you're doing? You're making a deposit into that account. Guess what? You know what I love to do? I love to make Rachel's coffee every morning. I do it. I don't drink coffee. I'm not a coffee drinker. I don't think I've ever tasted coffee. I'm not a coffee guy. Like smoothies, I'm not into coffee. But every morning when I wake up, I'm going to make her coffee. And she wakes up, smells like love. What is that? That is a deposit into that account. You know what happens when you're having more withdrawn than you're depositing? Then you become NSF. And eventually, the bank will no longer do business with you. Can I have a good amen? Make sure you're putting something into that marriage relationship. It's a love without limits. You know, a tribe never says, here's where my love runs out. Can't do it. No, this is it. This is where I draw the line. You know what? Unconditional love says, let's grow this thing. Let's build this thing. There are no limits. There are no boundaries. Aren't you glad that God expressed unconditional love to you? You know what unconditional love is? It's knowing the worst about that person, but still believing the best in that person. Oh, come on now. You can shout me better than that today. It's knowing the worst about it. I know all their faults. I know their issues. That brother got some serious issue, but I love him. All of his shoes, I love him. I love that boy. That's unconditional love. God's tribe is love, loving without limits. The second thing, number two, God's tribe is all about getting through without giving up. Getting through without giving up. Do you know that all tribes will go through tough stuff? All tribes will. Your family, your marriage, your children, whatever it is that you're a part of, you're going to face opposition. But you know what? Not only is a trademark of God's tribe unconditional love, but you know what? It's also saying we may go through some stuff, but giving up is not an option. How many of you have made that decision in your tribe that giving up is not an option? I'm in it to win it. Good, bad, or ugly, I'm not going anywhere. You know, I thought about one of the most famous families in the Bible in Luke chapter 15, the story of the prodigal son. Remember that story? It's the story of a dad and two boys. In fact, you had a younger brother who was sad. You had an older brother who was mad. And neither one of them knew the father's heart. And you know the story. The young boy goes to his dad and he says, Dad, give me my inheritance now. When does a son normally get his inheritance? Somebody's got to die. I mean, the boy's not collecting anything until the father passes away. Do you know, in essence, what that boy was saying to his dad? You are as good as dead to me. Some of you know the pain and the sting of harsh words like that in a family. Imagine what that did to the heart of the father. He was crushed. Basically, the boy's saying, I don't want you. I want your stuff. Give me what's mine. And reluctantly, the father does. And you know what happens. That boy runs as far as he can possibly go. Probably went to Vegas. Pocket full of money. He's got friends. He's got good times. He's living the crazy life. And then you know what happens when he ran out of money? He ran out of friends. It's amazing how that is tied together. He finds himself bankrupt. He's looking for work, ends up working at a pig farm. Now listen, for a Jewish boy to work at a pig farm was the ultimate of humiliations. The Bible says that in that pit, isn't it amazing to me? This is what I find, and you know, reading that story this week, it spoke something to me in my life. I'm thinking of the boy there in that pig farm. He gets an idea. He says, wait a second. I had it better back at the house. Why is it that sometimes we have to step into our worst moments before we get our best perspectives? The boy had to lose everything before he could appreciate anything. I'll go back home. I don't know if I can go back home. I sure can't go back the way that I left. Listen, I know what I'll do. I'll write a letter. I'll craft this apology statement to my dad. Maybe he'll take me back as a hired slave because I'm not even worthy to be his son. Do you know in that pig pen, God wasn't trying to pay that boy back. He was trying to bring that boy back. Some of you have sons and daughters that are far away from God. And you know what? Sometimes it takes a pig pen before they can recognize the voice of God. And so you know the story. The boy, he gathers his stuff, what little he has left, probably the clothes on his back, and he's headed back to the house. And the Bible says that the father, from a long way off, he sees that boy walking in the distance. Now, what does that say about the father? That's a dad who would not give up. I wonder how many days that father went to the edge of that porch and he looked out across that field. He probably smells the boy before he even sees him. Come on, somebody. From a long way off. And the Bible says this dad does something. I mean, I don't think we catch this. We miss it, the significance of what this father does. Because men in the Middle East, in ancient culture, they didn't run for anything. That was losing dignity. That was embarrassment. A Middle Eastern man, he was made and built for respect. But this dad loses all dignity. And what does he do? Winded already, just that little sprint right there. You saw that burst of speed? Some of you didn't even see that. That was so fast. He chases the boy down, throws his arms around that kid's neck, and you know what he's doing? He's kissing the fire out of him. Come on, moms and dads. Doesn't matter how old your children get. That's always your baby boy, always your baby girl. Man, he is kissing that boy, saying, I love you so much. And the boy is, you know, he's got this speech. He's going to tell his dad that he's rehearsed all this, and his dad will hear none of it. I'm sure it's one of those embarrassed but loving it moments. You know what I mean when I say that? Embarrassed. But I mean, the boy's embarrassed, but I mean, hey, this sure feels a whole lot better than the pig pen. I remember a couple years ago, you know, Rachel and I would put the kids on the bus. They would take the bus to school. How many of you rode a bus to school? The yellow cheese wagon. Oh, yes. That's a culture in and of itself, is it not? Get them on the bus and they go. And, you know, at the end of the day, then they come back home. And, you know, in our neighborhood, the bus would stop right in front of our house. And at the end of the day, when that bus would drop those kids off, the door would open and those kids would, I mean, each one of them, head down, racing. I mean, they just scattered. It was like freedom. You know, they've been locked up for 8 hours. Now, freedom, playing in the neighborhood. Here we go. So one afternoon, I heard the bus pulling up. How many of you know you can hear a bus coming from a mile away? Those brakes. You know, so I'm inside and, you know, I hear the bus coming. I'm looking at the clock. It's like 3:15, 3:20. This is when the kids get home from school. And so I just kind of reacted. Any parents ever just kind of do something or say something before thinking about it? Am I the only one here? Okay, I just reacted. I don't know what it was, but you know, I heard the bus come. I know they were getting off the bus stop right there in front of the house. I jumped out of the chair that I was in. I busted through the front door, man. My arms and legs are kicking, man. Because you know, when the kids, when they get off the bus, they're running. So Alexa has got her book sack. It's over her shoulder. Her head is down. She's running straight for the house, you know. I mean, that's what all kids do. So she doesn't know, but I'm running straight at her. I'm so glad you're home. Come here, babe. She looks up and sees me running at her. She started running a different direction. And so I'm chasing her. She's making me chase her in the yard, all over the yard. I'm trying to catch her. Get over here, girl. You know your daddy loves you. Get over here, babe. I've been missing my girl. You know, she put her head down and she's saying, Daddy, don't do it. Daddy, don't do it. Please don't do it. And, you know, all of her friends on that bus were looking and staring in amazement. And I chased her inside. She beat me to the front door. She gets in the house, says, Mama, make Daddy quit. Make him stop. And I thought about it. You know, I thought, yeah, all those kids on that bus watched this craziness unfold in my neighborhood. And I bet that probably there's not a single kid on that bus that thought, wow, poor Alexa. Her daddy is a strange man. Which is true. But I wonder when the bus pulled up to their stop and they got off. I wonder if maybe just one of those kids thought, you know, I wish my daddy would chase me like that. You know, it would be great if my dad were there at the just to watch me get up. Oh, I'm embarrassed. Oh, I'd be so embarrassed. But on the inside, I'd be loving it. That's right. You see, you know what? When that father was running after that boy, you know what that's a picture of? It's a picture of the goodness of God running to meet him. Amen. And some of you may be far away from God. Maybe you've made some poor choices. And your life is a mess. And you wonder if there's still love back in the Father's house. I want you to know the goodness of God is here to meet you today. Can I have a better amen? Amen. You see, families make a decision that, hey, we're going to go through some things, but we're not going to give up. The last thought, number three, God's tribe. God's tribe is always fighting for without fighting against. You need to know that. The tribe that you're a part of in the family of God. Oh, there's going to be a fight, but we fight for each other and not against each other. Are you with me? You know what I've discovered about battle? Sometimes you have to defend and protect. There will be fighting. But you know, friendly fire is just as dangerous as enemy fire. We can't afford to be in a tribe where we're shooting at each other. Can I have a good amen? If you're going to fire your weapon, make sure you're firing in the same direction. Sometimes I have to call a timeout and get my tribe together and say, whoa, come here, huddle up. How many of you know as parents, you got to have a team huddle every now and then? Huddle up, come here, huddle up. I've got to remind Team Haman, hey, listen, we're on the same team. This is who we are, and this is what we're all about. And you know what? The kids, they don't get a vote in that. Why? Because I got more kids. I mean, there's three kids and only two adults. How many know it's, you don't give your kids a vote in that department because their vote outnumbers the adult vote. And we're not going to let immaturity run the house. Can I have a good amen? Hey, listen, you don't get a vote. Now, you got the loudest voice, but you don't get a vote. We are on the same team. Don't fight against one another. Fight for each other. You know, a tribe says this: if you mess with one of us, bring it, you messing with all of us. Hello? That's what the body of Christ should be about. In fact, check this out. Ecclesiastes 4, last scripture, last thought. Ecclesiastes 4. I love the way the writer puts this. Ecclesiastes 4:12, closing thoughts. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. You know what the Bible's telling us? If you're not in a tribe, you're vulnerable to be defeated. In fact, help me out here. Lance, come up here real quick. Lance, come see. Come see. I want you to see it. Check that. Many of you didn't know this about Lance. Okay, Lance, hustle up. Come on, here we go. Come on. I know you're fighting some issues, but you can make it up here. Come on, here we go. Okay, Lance, he made 33 on Friday. Did you know that? Birthday, Friday, 33 years old. But what you may not have realized is that Friday, Lance went through a Navy SEAL fitness test by choice. I mean, that brother's got some issues right up here. Yeah. And he chose to go through that. On his 33rd birthday, he wanted to prove to himself that he still got the stuff. All right. So check this out. All right. So, yeah. Turn your back. Now, Lance, a big, strong guy. Big shoulders. But you know what? If Lance is not looking at me, check this out. How many of you think that if Lance is walking this way and he's not facing me, I could come behind him and I could take him out? Anybody think I could do that? You don't think I could do that? I thought this was a love without limits now. Come on, don't limit the brother. Would you agree? Don't be looking at that screen either, Lance. I saw you check that screen out up there. If he doesn't see me coming, how many of you know I've got the advantage on him? All right? And I know he's Navy SEAL, this, that, and the other, but brother still got some power up in these guns right here. All right, I could take him. All right, I could take it. Johnny, come up here quickly. Hustle up. Now, here's another Navy SEAL, all right, from Central. Check that boy out right there, boy. Check him. Now, Johnny is 40 years old, all right? But check that out right there. What a strong dude. Now, look, I could take Lance if he's not watching me, all right? But you put Johnny back to back. How many would be afraid to fight that right there? You know why? Watch this. Because when Lance doesn't have anybody to cover his back, he's got blind spots. But when Johnny goes back to back, now, all of a sudden, Johnny can see something that Lance has no idea is coming. Do you know that's where we get the phrase, I got your back? Isn't that cool? The world didn't come up with that. That's biblical. You know what a marriage should be? A marriage should be a husband and a wife who have each other's back. Look, I see things that you don't see, and so I'm going to protect you. I'm not fighting against you. I'm fighting for you. She sees things and picks up on things, fellas, that you have no idea. So let her do what she does well. Let her fight for you. You fight for her. And the Bible says two can stand it together, back to back, and they can conquer. Can I have a good amen? Come on, clap your hands for these fellas. They're good guys. That is the benefit and the blessing of a tribe. Can I tell you today? You need a tribe. You can't do this thing by yourself. How many saw the World Cup yesterday? Anybody say England and U.S.? Anybody fired up about soccer? A few of us. Anybody really care a thing about soccer? Some of us. Temporarily, we care, okay? The World Cup, South Africa. You know what's interesting to me? I noticed when England was playing the United States, I don't know a single thing about soccer. All I know is you got to kick it in the net more times than the other team does so you can win. But you know what's amazing? When you play together as a team, you get the ball in the right place. You work together. Our boys from the United States had a jersey. And on the front, it said USA. On the back, it said something different. Each member had something different on the back. Some said Dempsey. Some said Donovan. Every person on the back of their jersey had a different name. But on the front, it was all the same. You know what I felt God challenged me with yesterday as I watched that game? Mike, make sure that you're playing for the name on the front of the jersey and not just playing for the name on the back. You see, there's a problem in a tribe when you're playing for the name on your back. God's given us a tribe here. It's called Healing Place Church. I don't care what my name says on the back, but you know what? I know who I represent, and I'm giving my best for the tribe to belong to a team, something that's greater than myself.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.